Welcome to fourthstream.com, and today we're talking about Jesus, and it's seeing the Father's hand moving.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing because the connection between Jesus and the Father is, there are so many different levels to it. So, you know,
about the time you think you can grasp it, then a new piece of information makes you have to think even bigger. Anyway.
Well, and it's Father's hand moving. It's not the Father. It's Father's hand moving because, you know, he has a very personal relationship with his creation. So we're going to look at that a little bit today. So first thing that came to my mind is, you know, what's in a name? You know, when your parents named you, they probably wanted to communicate something about your roots, you know, like Bernadette. I mean, that's just got hidden meaning, right?
I think it was always hidden. I mean, strong and brave, and for the longest time, I just, you know, couldn't see that that was a part of my life. But when we had babies in our fellowship, often they would be introduced, and then people would say what their names meant. And I can remember that a man holding a darling baby up with the sweetest cheeks and said what her name was and said, it means eater of rice cakes. And of course, you know, that name was just fun and it was beautiful. We have another friend who's having a baby, and his life has just seen God's redemption, and he's so appreciative, and they're having a baby girl, and you know, they're naming it something that has to do with that. And I don't want to give anything away.
But, right.
You know, just the reasons that were named things sometimes, you know, have such a heritage.
Well, when the Father named his son, the name Jesus was his human name. But, you know, like it says in Philippians 2, that's the name above all names. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. Well, you know, it wasn't really the first time that God let on what the name of his son would be. He didn't need to call him Joshua or Jesus or Deliverer. There were more dimensions to who Jesus was that find their roots back in Isaiah 9. And it's a very familiar passage, but, you know, it has a lot of depth to understanding the name of Jesus.
And we'll come back to this, but I love the beginning of those verses where it says, there will be no more gloom, but he shall make it glorious. Just that, the sweepingness of going from gloom to glory is just really amazing in that passage.
Well, and you know, the people who walk in darkness, I just jump right into it because you set it up right there. You know, you're looking at a gloomy land, and all of a sudden the light is going to shine, and the prophet Isaiah explains what that's going to look like.
Well, and just thinking about being in a dark land, it's the idea of kind of in the shadows. Like you're in a shadow land, like C.S. Lewis talks about. And so I just spent a little bit of time thinking about how that, with that kind of light, there's not much depth perception.
Right.
There's no color.
Oh, yeah.
When you walk, you try to kind of keep your hand in front of your face for protection. So it impedes the progress of, you know, movement forward. And you're just constantly hindered. So to live in that way on this earth like we do, it is kind of just a dark. Well, not kind of. It is a dark place, but those are just such examples of it.
Well, he goes on in verse 2. This is in Isaiah 9. The people who walk in the darkness will see a great light. Mm-hmm. Not just the light. They will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light is going to shine on them.
I know. What hope.
It's just such a beautiful
so
picture.
So hopeful. Mm-hmm.
Well, and you know what that feels like, you know, when you're in real a dark situation, then all of a sudden you can turn on a flashlight or, you know, some kind of light pierces the darkness. And that's really what's being described here. Mm-hmm. It's piercing a darkness because, you know, people, we're just basically kind of stumbling around in the darkness.
Mm-hmm. You shall multiply the nation. You shall increase their gladness. They will be glad in your presence as with the gladness of harvest and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil.
Did you notice that I underlined the word joy and rejoice in that passage? Because that really because light and darkness are laid out. And now, the idea of walking in darkness doesn't produce a whole lot of joy, does it?
No, and it feels like it's so much work.
You mentioned C.S. Lewis and, you know, some of his books that he wrote. And I was thinking of a chronicle that I'm reading a young guy in my life right now talks about that whole idea about being without light. But when you find the light, there's so much gladness. Be glad in your presence, gladness of the harvest, because you can see. And how much of a harvest is there when you're in the dark? I mean, how do things grow?
But even in the darkness, when there is harvest, it just feels good. It makes you glad. Same way with between the harvest and then when they divide the spoil, just when you have some kind of a gift or you share gifts. I mean, even in the darkness, we have a glimpse and a little bit of an understanding of what it feels to be almost glad.
Well, you know, I jumped into that. You kind of laid it out there in chapter 9, verse 4. You shall break the yoke of their burden and the staff on their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, as at the battle of Midian. Did you happen to look that up in your prep?
Well, in the message I did. Is that what you're talking about?
Well, I was talking actually about the Battle of Midian, but go ahead.
No, I didn't. Well, just to read it in the message, the abuse of oppressors and cruelty of tyrants, all their whips and cudgels and curses is gone, done away with, a deliverance as surprising and sudden as Gideon's old victory over Midian. The boots of all those invading troops, along with their shirts soaked with innocent blood, will be piled in a heap and burned. A fire that will burn for days.
Well, this is a wonderful story because I took the time to reference it a little bit. And,
cool.
You know, in the book of the Judges, when you study about this, it's interesting because they were under the oppression of the Midianites that you just described for 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. So 7 years, that was a long time for them to experience that kind of pain at the rod of their oppressors. Well, their oppressors gathered together with another nation, and they were going to destroy Israel. They surrounded Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And there were so many soldiers that they looked like locusts.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's what it says.
Creepy.
You know, when you go into Judges and read the story about this, it's all about Gideon. So if you want to add to this color of this particular passage, that would help you do that. But what happened was that they had 20,000 men, the Israelites, and they were quaking in their boots. God said, that's too many. So they cut them back, ended up with 10,000 people.
Uh-huh.
And God said, that's still too many. And he cut them down to 300.
Amazing.
And God gave them a plan, and that whole army was routed before them because of the work of the Lord God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's the context of this. So when it talks about every boot of the booted warrior in the battle tumult, the cloak rolled in blood will be for burning fuel for the fire. That wasn't the blood of the Israelites.
Right.
Because they didn't shed any blood. Uh-huh. Because God routed the army before him. So the picture here of the light coming, the light not only brings light so that they're not, you know, crashing about in the darkness, it's also the deliverance that came when the light came and God drove away the evil from mm-hmm. Israel.
Yeah, evil just can't be in the presence of light.
Well, this all sets up, you know, what's in verses 6 through 7, and it really gets to the core of who Jesus
mm-hmm.
is.
For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of Peace.
So we started out talking about the name Jesus. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. That's his incarnated name. Why? Why does that name have so much power? Well, it's not the Son's only name. The mm-hmm. Son existed before the foundations of the world, and his name is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, and Prince of Peace. Now, think about those four things. I love the Wonderful Counselor name because,
I do too.
It's the connecting. It's the connecting. You know, God is the one who takes his counsel and brings it to mankind. He's Mighty God, and again, we're talking about the Son here. He mm-hmm. is Mighty God. He is also Eternal Father. I mean, that's just a mind blower.
It is.
to even get my arms around that. But this one right here, the Prince mm-hmm. of Peace, the one who actively brings peace as a new thing, because, you know, a prince would come on the scene, you know, following a king.
Right.
And the idea is that he is bringing something that is being amplified in a very specific way.
Mm-hmm. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace, and on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this.
Well, and this is the passage ends with the forever aspect of this. This, because God is forever and the Son is forever. Well, this kingdom mm-hmm. is going to be forever. I should write a hallelujah chorus or
something. I know.
Something.
I love this. The zeal of God of angel armies will do all of this.
Yeah. What a wonderful thing when you understand the depths of who Jesus is. And today we've been talking about Jesus, the Father's hand moving, and how that amplifies an understanding of how all things are going to come together. Beautiful.